Tom Carkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast, going to be clouds and maybe some afternoon shower activity. We will have a high today near 58 degrees. In Kenosha right now, it is 43, 42 in Burlington, Milwaukee 43, also 43 in Racine. A new automated solid waste collection system for the city of Racine, approved by the Common Council at budget time last November, will not be implemented until at least the spring of next year, and with a number of problem areas still to be worked out. During the Public Works and Services Committee meeting, DPW Commissioner Mark Yellen explained the initial goal was to begin using the 95-gallon carts this fall, but equipment acquisition, including trucks, taking a little longer than expected.
It took us a little longer to actually try and reach the equipment that we wanted, negotiate with suppliers to get what we want. We're not going to have carts in here in time to kick this off next fall.
So is there a cost for the carts?
The carts are about $60 a pop. We put in $500,000.
Who will pay for that? Will the resident pay for it?
It's part of the capital budget.
Yellen said that automating the system means bulky waste items will have to be a separate collection altogether.
These trucks cost about $250,000 to procure. The rear loaders we have right now cost about $200,000.
Alley pickups are going to have to change in some way, either totally or partially, according to Yellen. The initial intent to help cut back on six-figure DPW worker injury claims, Yellen pointing out the need for fewer drivers could also put the others back onto street maintenance. Committee member reaction, generally supportive, but with lots of questions on specific known problems. Public presentations will be made and website information will be available on the new automated solid waste collection system, and there will be a chance for feedback that can be used to tweak what is being proposed. Again, it won't start until the spring of next year. Racine's Plan Commission has a meeting going on later this afternoon. That agenda includes revisiting the sign standards at Regency Mall. It's been affecting Ross Dress for Less and their desire to exceed a current total square footage that's allowed. There's also consideration of creating tax incremental District Number 19 in the uptown area. Kenosha's water utility going to be developing a strategy for cleaning the sewers in the downtown area where a gasoline smell has been detected over the past several weeks, but the source of the vapor is still unknown. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
The gasoline smell has been reported in an area from the Kenosha County Public Safety Building to the Municipal Building. A working group met Monday to discuss the results of tests at a long-gone manufactured gas plant that sat at the corner of 52nd Street and Sheridan Road has been ruled out. It was also learned that the gasoline leaching into the sewers was manufactured in the mid-1970s, meaning it likely came from a leaky tank that has been removed or is unknown to local officials. The DNR noted that pre-construction borings done for a road project in 2001 detected gasoline in the soil. Until a plan for cleaning the sewers is finalized, officials say gasoline vapors may still be detected in the area, and the fire department should be contacted if those vapors are detected in a home or basement. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
It was the wrong kind of drive-thru at the Starbucks near Racine's Regency Mall Tuesday afternoon, a vehicle striking the building along South Green Bay Road. No serious injuries reported when that vehicle, operated by a woman, backed into the almost 12-foot-tall ground-level window. Customer at a table by that window was slightly hurt, but without the need for a trip to the hospital. The business was closed as a result to effect repairs for resuming operations today. And the Racine Interfaith Coalition will hold a candlelight prayer vigil Thursday at 6 p.m. in the 3900 block of Green Street on the city's far northeast side to remember the life of James Norris, the delivery driver shot and killed last Friday night. According to a release from Olympia Brown Unitarian Universalist Church, as with every one of these events, people of all faiths are invited to attend and participate with any family and friends of the victim, who became the second homicide of the year. Norris's death remains under investigation by police, who say very little anymore about such high-profile cases, but no arrests have been announced in connection with the shooting. Meanwhile, a GoFundMe page has been set up to help Norris's family. www.gofundme.com/W8W29KK4. A man from Milwaukee accused of not completing construction work that he was paid to do failed to show up in Racine County Circuit Court Tuesday for an appearance. 52-year-old Kurt Bauer, hired by a Town of Raymond woman to build a pole barn and to install a driveway along with some other work, was paid more than $28,000 but is accused of doing only minimal work on that project. He was charged with theft by contractor in March but scheduled to appear in court yesterday. Didn't show up, so a warrant was issued for his arrest. A bill pushing back the start date of Wisconsin's wolf hunting season could actually improve the quality of the pelts taken by hunters. Part of the reasoning from Governor Scott Walker to sign the legislation for the first Saturday in November instead of mid-October being the start time.
This allows the opportunity to account for some concerns that were raised, both in terms of people out in various bird hunting seasons, particularly for dogs that go out.
The federal court decision, of course, has kept the state's wolf hunting season blocked since 2014 after the animals had their endangered status restored. Wisconsin's winter moratorium on shutting off utilities is coming to an end on April the 18th. We Energy's urging customers behind on their payments not to wait to contact them. Spokesperson Kathy Schultz says We Energy's offers a number of help programs for customers to stay connected.
We work with all of our customers to stay connected by offering minimum payment options, payment plans. Energy assistance may also be available, and we can point them in the direction of outside agencies that administer that aid.
She notes that scammers also know that the moratorium's about to end, and utilities never contact customers by phone demanding any immediate payment. They do contact customers, alerting them that they're behind, but anybody getting one of those calls or emails about payments have to be made immediately. You should contact We Energies and verify the status of your account. Sturtevant Village Board and its Community Development Authority getting their first look at proposed boundaries on a new tax incremental district at a meeting that was held last night. The TID covers Renaissance Business Park. It'll be retired this year. Village officials now looking at ways to maybe fund business development and expansion in other areas. Village President Steve Jansen presenting a map on a possible outline for the TID, which included vacant and slightly developed land on the east and west ends of the village connected by a corridor on Highway 11. Areas along Wisconsin and 90th Streets also included. Jansen admitted that there would unlikely be a lot of rapid growth occurring with this new TID.
We can try and get this economic engine up and running, and if we're successful in getting it up and running, we're generating cash flow, we could always do a TID amendment and expand it. So we didn't want to encourage development so far south that we'd have to put millions of dollars in investment in for one building and then be strapped with that. So I think it's a good logical progression of the first boundary of the TID, subject to expansion if we're successful.
Village engineer Jeff Seitz said the TID does not include land south of Broadway Drive because of the infrastructure not being in place. Finally, going to be a hearing regarding the redistricting reform issue. The bill has been introduced by Representatives Dave Considine of Baraboo and Mark Spreitzer from Beloit. Now, this would assign the task of drawing up new maps to the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau.
We explicitly asked for a public hearing at that time and asked Chairwoman Kathy Bernier of the Assembly Campaigns and Elections Committee to follow through on her previous willingness to hold a hearing and go ahead and have a hearing on our actual bill.
With the legislative session over, Bernier, who's a Chippewa Falls Republican, has scheduled an information-only hearing Friday on the redistricting process, not the actual bill itself. Across the southern border, Illinois labor unions are applauding a fair share decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in a case from California about having to pay union dues. David Stewart with that story.
The High Court ruled on a tie vote that public sector unions can keep collecting dues from non-members who benefit from their negotiations. Governor Rauner called it a tragic decision.
It's an issue of freedom of speech and freedom of political voice. No American should be forced to fund an organization that they disagree with politically.
Rauner's backing a suit against so-called fair share fees here in Illinois. He said he hopes that there are 9 justices by the time the case makes it to the Supreme Court. David Stewart, Chicago.
WRJN newscasts are in podcast form. They're on our webpage. Go to WRJN.com, look in the local news section. At WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400, WRJN News.